This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the MGF Group, a premier building material supplier in New York City. Whether you're a seasoned contractor or a DIY enthusiast, the MGF Group offers a wide range of premium building materials to suit your every need. From cement to lumber, protection materials and safety nets, the MGF Group has got it all under one roof and pride themselves in timely and reliable delivery. Check out the mgfgroup.com for more information.
This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the Taylor Public House. Right on the doorstep of Madison Square Garden, the Taylor Public House is the perfect place to connect with family or friends before taking in a concert or sports event. The Taylor is known for its warm welcome, classy ambiance, and comfort food. It has two floors, three bars, and two private event spaces for parties and gatherings. Be sure to stop by and experience the Taylor Public House for yourself, located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan on the corner of 35th Street and 8th Avenue. Check out thetaylornyc.com for more information.
Hello there. Welcome to the Real Talks podcast. I'm Alan O'Mara, an author, speaker, and mental performance coach with sports teams in the US and Ireland. We originated this podcast in County Cavan, Ireland, where I'm from, and are coming to you this season from New York City, where I'm based now. In this new season of the Real Talks podcast, we're diving into meaningful conversations with authentic people from art, music, sport, and life. Last week, we spoke with comedian Katie Boyle, and this week, I'm really looking forward to reflecting on that conversation and more. To do that, I'm joined by the Real Talks producer and my fiancée, Mary-Kate Boylan. Hi, Mary-Kate.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Where do you want to start?
I think last week's episode was very fun, especially because we talked about it in our first episode together, but this has really been a journey of kind of planning out what this season of the podcast is going to be like, who we're going to be talking to, what those conversations are going to be like. And it was just kind of the perfect accumulation of that. Katie's just like incredible. And I loved hearing her story and how she described it and just what she's about and what she's doing. And to get to talk to her in person in New York and get that kind of conversation out there is very exciting. So I feel like it was exciting because it was a great conversation and the things we're going to talk about today that she discussed, but also because it kind of marked our first of this.
I would agree with like everything you said there. And I thought it was really cool. I thought Katie was a perfect starting point for this series. Like, obviously, we've talked previously, like the podcast, like I've something I've been doing for years, like mainly with sports people. And as we kind of like grow the podcast now and evolve it into what we want it to be and become in 2024, like I just thought Katie was such a perfect like launch pad for that in terms of her story, her journey, her openness, her vulnerability, like her humor. And I just thought it was a great conversation to kick on. And I suppose in tandem with that, like the reason why episodes like today, and it's something I'm really passionate about and want to make sure, is that we're always creating time to like reflect on the conversations that we've had. I feel like it's something I would do a lot in my day-to-day work, but also in my own life in terms of, you know, we prepare to do stuff and then we go and do it, like we perform, and then we don't ever really take a second or a minute or an hour to like look back on it or reflect on it and kind of, you know, embolden the learnings or really hone in on some of the takeaways you took or some of the life lessons someone shared or how it resonated with you. And I hope like this space I want to be like, while it's for me and you to kind of recap and reflect on the conversations that will happen, I also want it to be really helpful for like the listener in that regard who maybe listened to it, you know, got some triggers, got some prompts, maybe took some stuff from it. And then we kind of loop back to it today and kind of share those, some of those extra kind of, I suppose, just like try to get a layer deeper on some of those like reflections or some of those talking points.
We talk about that all the time in terms of like yesterday you went for a walk with someone and said like, you know, what you talked about with them is going to bing, you know, at a later date and make you think about something else. And it literally did. And just thinking about it in terms of like all of these conversations, things we listen to are hopefully, you know, evolving us in some way or giving us a takeaway, and it's cool to have a space to explore that stuff, what that conversation kind of made us think about.
Yeah, I think that's important. And like, just before we get to like the Katie conversation specifically, like it is like, that's where like Real Talks come from. And like something that, you know, I'm passionate about, like the importance of meaningful conversations, because I think that like every time you have like a real conversation, like person to person, like human to human, like you're sharing experiences, you're sharing learnings, and they kind of, often they kind of get lodged in the back of your brain and you never really know sometimes when they're going to like come forward again to help you. It might be in a conversation a week later or a month later where you go, oh, actually a person's talking to me about something now and it reminded me of a conversation I had previously, where you can kind of use those like learnings or you use the interaction you've already had to kind of help guide you in that moment or kind of inform your view or inform your perspective. And I know even like since we talked to Katie and I've thought about the conversation multiple times, like there was just so many things that jumped out from that stuck with me. And I think maybe like today I just love to kind of dig back through a couple of those.
Yeah, my favorite thing, just like getting started, just hearing her talk about her journey, I loved it so much. I think a lot of times we're almost like taught to kind of collapse and sugarcoat how we've gotten places. Like, so say for Katie, I feel like the typical thing would be like, I had big dreams, so I went to the big city and then I knew what I was doing. And she was like, no, like I walked by somewhere and it was like, you can get a visa to go to New York. And I was like, I want to get out of here for a bit. And then it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a comedian. It was like, no, you did what you had to do, which is get a job and made a new group of friends who were like, you're hilarious, try being a comedian. And then she just worked her ass off. Like that was the biggest takeaway from, and you know, it just comes through in all her stories. I think sometimes, especially with social media, it's easy to be like, oh my gosh, one of her videos has 10 million views. She must have gone viral. And then that's how she's gotten here. And it's like, no, she works so hard. She has been working so hard. The day we talked to her, it was in the morning and she had done like 3 shows the night before. I mean, it's cool to kind of peel back the curtain and remind ourselves, like everyone is like working at something or working so hard to get to where they're going. It's not just when it feels like you're kind of maybe your tires are spinning. It happens for everybody. You know, we're all just trying to work hard. No one's kind of snapping their fingers and getting it.
That's like a really important point. And then like the other thing that jumps out to me from like even what you just said is, you know, like we're often kind of taught or maybe told that you're just meant to be like a master plan, you know, like, okay, so I'm here. So here's how what's your next 6 months look like, your year, your 5 years, or even like, Joe, sometimes I even like, it makes me laugh, but like even when you go back to school, they're like, pick your subjects for like high school. And then it's like, okay, you're going to go to college. So pick your course. And then like, you're going to work in that thing. And like, so it's all like really linear and structured and like a plan, but like, it's so really a case that it works that way. And then like Katie's experience of like, kind of, okay, yes, going with the flow, but also like just really working hard then. And like when the one or two things pop up, like really committing to them. And like it is so funny how she's ended, like she's what she's doing now based on like, she, you know, she came to New York with, that wasn't the plan in any way. Like, and for her to be working as hard as she is and having the success that she is now. Like I find that like really, really inspiring, you know? And then also like, even with that, in terms of moving and stuff, like, and the other thing that jumped out at me was like you brought it up there, like having a group of friends that was like pushing her forward and encouraging her, but like, wait, you're hilarious, you should do stand up. Like, I don't know, I feel like if you're at home, people like, don't do that. Like if it was in Ireland, like, no, you stay in your lane, you stay in your box, you do what, you know, you're doing. I think that was just like, I think for her, like being in a different place and kind of just, yeah, having the freedom and just, I suppose, just backing herself. Then I just think that's definitely stuck with me in terms of like, just fucking back yourself and go for it. And like, also if it doesn't work out, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like it doesn't have to be this master plan. And also like to that same point, like, I love that she didn't like try and self edit and been like, yeah, no, it's all like, you know, just like, you know, you get that phrase like, oh, it's easy to connect the dots looking backwards, but also like, it's kind of messy and like still is totally a bit messy and like working through it. But like, being authentic and like backing yourself. And I think the other point you said is like, it's just working really hard at it to make it happen rather than sitting around waiting for something to happen, you know?
Yeah. And just the way she shared her authentic story instead of kind of standardizing it, it makes it so much more relatable. I'm like, obviously not a comedian, but just it makes it so much more relatable. You moved here and you didn't know exactly what you're doing. I moved here from Philadelphia, which is not as far, but you know, it wasn't like I moved here and I was like, oh, I'm going to work in TV news. I didn't know anyone who worked in TV. Like that didn't, but it was like, I worked hard at something and then someone I worked with got me an interview at CBS and then I just worked really hard there. And that's kind of, it's much more relatable, I think, when we hear stories like that. It makes us all kind of feel better about our journeys, I think.
No, definitely. And it's like, yeah, like when a door opens up, like not being afraid just to peek in through it and have a look, you know? And like, that's, I think, say from New York City perspective in particular, like that's one of the more hilarious things about this city. Everyone's like, yeah, you can do anything you want, like you can be anything you want, like it's just, it's all good, like don't worry about it, give that a try, like no hassle. And like, I feel like just her coming here kind of freed her up that little bit to, you know, obviously was on her own journey and like just take chances on things. And like to see her at that point now where it's really taken off, and like, and I honestly able to look back at the kind of messiness of it and laugh at it. Yeah. Like that's like, there's just a real, like there's a real honesty and like an actual authentic, like an authenticity in that. Like it's, cause that's real life for most people.
Oh, like, totally. Also those like service industry jobs that you get while you're trying to figure it out, or, you know, maybe that you weren't planning to get, those are huge. And the friendships you make are huge. My best friend Maggie and I, we like worked at a restaurant for 6 months after college. And like those friendships and those stories are like, I mean, at the time it felt miserable, but now looking back on it, it's like some of like the funniest times of our lives. And so I totally related to her, like just being galvanized by that like community that she made and like wasn't kind of expecting to make. I love that.
It's just so funny, like that community, like it's something she wasn't expecting, like, but it was that community that really propelled her and pushed her forward to do that. And I think there's just a real beauty in that, you know, that that's how it came about for her. Like she said, it wasn't her plan, like people that she was working with, and like she had found that community, found that, like that little tribe almost, and they helped to like push her forward. And that's like, there's something really like warming to that. Like,
oh, I feel
like, you know, we've all been in situations where you can, you get pulled down or torn apart by people who are around you and been like, no, you're hilarious, go do that. And then like actually been like, wait, this is, and also like, I really like doing this. Like it's just a really, it's a really, I was gonna say funny story, but like it's a cool story. Like, yeah. I definitely like took a lot away from that in terms of just being able to try things, have a go at it. And then, hey, if you like, if you like it, or if you think it's something that you could be good at, just backing yourself and then doing the work to try and become, I mean, what she is becoming, and on definitely on the trajectory of getting to, you know.
Totally. And shout out to those friends who are like
heroes,
championing.
Yeah, heroes. That's honestly huge. I want to go for coffee with them.
Totally. And we also, I loved, like, we've talked about her special and people should definitely watch it. It's so fun. And she just does such a good job of like, I think going from like lighthearted, funny stories about family and dating and like, but also then going towards like vulnerable and raw and talking about therapy, talking about personal things, kind of finding the humor in, you know, the harder things that kind of affect so many people, so many of us. In that vein, I loved, she talked to you about therapy. She's talked about therapy in her special that's out. And I know her upcoming special, is the one she's touring now, is called Therapy.
Therapy.
But we loved talking to her about her therapy journey too, I think.
Definitely was like a big part of, it was one of the big parts of the reason why I even wanted to talk to her in the first place. Like I, like seeing someone infuse her own well-being journey, like through counseling, psychotherapy, seeing it mixed that way and someone communicating it that way, I just thought it was such a, like, I hadn't really come across much like that before in terms of like really normalizing it in conversations and humor. And like, but also, as you said, like underneath it all, like really like backing it up with like substance in terms of the experience she's sharing, but like warts and all, like both in terms of her flaws and in terms of her experiences, but also then people around her. And I think that's like, again, there's lots of ways we can normalize conversations. Like this podcast is one way of doing it. You know, you can write articles, do books, like people on social media. But I think seeing it done through comedy and through like that medium, I found really inspiring. And like the two, it was definitely interesting for me that like, you know, the first special has like taken off. And I think we talked about it, has like whatever, 333,000 views on YouTube. And therapy was like very much at like the core of it, and like it was like a significant part of it. But how like that's already evolved into like the whole second special is just called Therapy. And like I feel like when we started off talking about reflection, like her experiences that are actually coming out of therapy are helping her reflect, and actually like she's using it to like create like material on the show and drive the show. And I think she mixes that stuff really, really well, like the personal experience, but also like, like not being afraid to be like self-deprecating, laugh at yourself, but also laugh at other like other people who have been crazy around you and stuff. Oh, like totally. And just like, because you know, like we're all just like living our lives bobbing along sometimes, and you realize, wait, how did I end up talking to him or her? How did I end up in
right.
that?
Like, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, I loved in her special, she has a great part where she talks about kind of like the therapized thinking she has versus like the toxic thoughts she still has, and like kind of those going back and forth. Kind of in like a more serious part of the conversation with you, she talked about how she feels as though a lot of people maybe who you'd maybe in your life encouraged to go to therapy or recommend and explain how your journey has helped, how kind of maybe they're afraid of getting a diagnosis, but how for her, how that was so empowering. And I can totally like relate to that. You know, in my own life, I remember therapy felt inaccessible. And this is years ago. And luckily, we've come so much further. But, you know, years and years ago, it felt one, I felt like therapy was just something for rich people. I was like, oh, that's something rich people do, not anything having to do with like, which there is an accessibility piece that still needs to be addressed. But like Katie said, there are more accessible ways to go to therapy now. You know, you can just do it over video call, over phone call. There's text, you know, there's, and I'm sure you have a bunch of resources that you could mention. But just in terms of, there was also the piece of not really knowing why you're going. When I was going to therapy, my brother had died. And I was like, well, I'm just really sad. So what am I going to do? Just go and be like, I'm really sad because my brother died. Like, they wouldn't be able to help me because they'd be like, yeah, of course you are. And also, like Katie mentioned, you know, it kind of takes often someone hitting their rock bottom to actually go. And that was my experience. I definitely waited like months too long until I had to go. And then when I did go, you know, at the end of the first session, I remember my therapist being like, okay, like, just so you know, like what I'm writing down and what, you know, I'm, you know, filing the insurance and everything for is like traumatic stress. And we're way too close to ourselves to like know exactly what's going on in our own brains and to be like, oh, yeah, I'm not just really sad. I'm not just crying all the time. Like I'm having panic attacks. Like I have traumatic stress. This is actually something that I can work on piece by piece to kind of ease those other things where I can be really sad, but not having it be like debilitating, you know? And so I really related to what she said there about how it's just really empowering. And I think that that's something good if someone was on the fence about going, yeah, maybe it is scary to think you're not like quote unquote normal and there might be something there. But also like, I would always want the help to kind of be able to live my life in the moment rather than try to hide behind, you know? And it's hard, but it's very empowering having that knowledge about yourself.
Yeah, like there's so much, and even just listening to you there, like there's so much both from the Katie conversation and a few of the points you've raised that come to mind for me. Like obviously, like my experiences with all this has been like, first of all, yes, finding my way there as an individual, like as you said, hitting my rock bottom. Like I think one thing I would say straight away is like everyone's rock bottom is just their rock bottom. Like it's not a competition. It's not like how much Mary Kate can endure versus how much Katie can endure versus how much Alan can endure. Like you're just everyone's rock, and that's absolutely fine. Like it's literally, it's not a competition. And like, I suppose what I think I was going to say something like, I feel like the most important thing to say on this point is like, if you're ever at the point where you're thinking of going to therapy or it comes or presents itself to you in terms of maybe I should go to therapy, honestly, just like go, like do, I'd say to people, like do one session or commit to three sessions. And hey, after three sessions, like if you don't like it, if it's not for you, or if it's not like the right blend at that point in time, like it is okay to say, actually, do you know what? Like I'll step away at this moment and loop back. But I feel like you can kind of, like, I know you have to say, we've talked about rock bottom. Like when I hit, like just before I hit my rock bottom, which for me was like suicidal thoughts becoming suicidal feelings and almost becoming like a suicidal action. Like in the weeks in advance of that, multiple times, I took out my phone. I typed in the number of the helpline. And literally, I can still remember, I can see the room I was in. I can see the bed I was sitting on. I can see the BlackBerry phone that I had typing out the number, and then it was a choice of press the green button or press like the red button to cancel it. And 2-3 times, like I just didn't make the call. And like, that's what's like, I'd always like try and affirm people that like if when it's at that point where it's presenting itself to you as like an option, a solution, a coping mechanism, a like a helpful intervention, like, I genuinely would just encourage people to do it, like to just to make the call. And the other thing that's funny that came to mind when, like, obviously earlier times in our lives when, like we were, you know, you're living here, I was in Ireland, we don't know each other yet. We're going through both our, like difficult spells, talk about whatever you want, like hitting our own rock bottoms. Like, it's so funny when you say, like, you're like in New York culturally, it's like, oh, therapy is a thing for like rich people. Like in Ireland, therapy was, you saw as a thing for like weak people that like you couldn't like handle it. Like it wasn't a privileged thing, or it wasn't like, oh, I go talk to my therapist. Like it was like shame and guilt, and even how like culturally there can be nuance.
No.
Like, yes, it's very deeply ingrained.
That doesn't sound right.
In our DNA. It's like, yeah, some of that like Catholic shame and guilt is really just wedged in there. And I definitely felt a lot of that. And like some of them was tied in with like athletic identity and like, you know, always like next ball or next game or like keep going. And then I suppose the other thing I wanted to come to was just like when you talk about accessibility, like it is so much better. Like, is it great? No, it's not. Like there's still so many issues in terms of affordability, accessibility. There's definitely more options that are there. And I suppose it's what's really difficult sometimes is, and if someone's listened to this, sometimes when you're the person that's really struggling, like for you to try and find the solution, the therapy place, the provider, like that can be overwhelming. But having someone who's a friend, trusted, like whether that be a family member or a confidant or a colleague or a teammate, who is not that they need to be like an expert around, but just like in tune with be able to say to someone, oh, hey, like, thanks for sharing that with me. Or like, you should check out, like, I know when I lived in Ireland, it would be like, you should check out like spunout.ie or should check out like the Samaritans or Pieta House. Or I know people who've used that before. I know we've talked here in New York, the like Solace House is there and there's other places around. Like, and just kind of familiarizing yourself with services that are available. If A, you ever need them, but also be if someone you know ever needs them, because it's, I've been in those conversations where you're able to kind of say to someone, yeah, look, just you should check out this. And if you have any questions, or, you know, you shoot them a text message and be like, hey, just check out these. And it's just something that's like really, and I said, as Katie touched upon it, like people now, like you can just do it from the comfort of your own home if you want to. Like, I know when I did it in person. I would be a believer that in person is best, but also like, hey, as plan B, backup, doing it like virtually or online, like, hey, great. Like,
I think whatever way works for you is best, because for some people, maybe getting to, you know, physically going to a place and ringing the bell and getting in might feel like a barrier. Whereas if you can go on your phone or computer screen, 100%. Maybe it feels more, you know, if you're feeling shame or guilt or just kind of scared about the unknown, maybe being in your own home feels better.
Yeah, and also on top of that, there's also just genuinely places, both like, you know, in the US or in Ireland or wherever, where like there isn't just a therapist that's around the corner, or there isn't like a service provider or center that you can just drop into. So having those, and just I suppose helping people be more aware of that. And I think like Katie covered that, like it was so like be able to find one that worked for her, and as you said, like in a way that worked for her. And like that's with all this stuff, like your experience is totally different to mine, different to Katie's. Everyone who's listened to this has ever been to therapy, all of our experiences will be different, but it doesn't matter, like, because it's just about trying to find what's right for you. Like, I know people, spoke to someone this week, like, you know, who tried 3-4 therapists, wasn't happening, not the right fit, not the right blend, not the connection. Then they do click with one. It's like, okay, great. And in fairness, like, all the previous interactions inform the good one when it comes around. But like, that's the other thing. Sometimes people can like enter it and maybe you can bounce back into despair because it hasn't worked out. And I totally understand that, by the way. Like when you're reaching out at your rock bottom and it doesn't click or it doesn't connect you the way, like that's like a double whammy kick in the stones. Do you know what I mean? Like it stinks.
And that's one of the things that's so hard, right? Because say you're struggling in any way and then the onus is put onto you to find a therapist, to find the right therapist. And so, yeah, I would totally say, and when I talk to people about it, there have been times when I'm listening and I'm like, I think it's not you. I think it just isn't a fit with the therapist, and being okay with maybe trying again. But it's hard. It's so hard. And like you said, we're doing it on a podcast, but we also kind of try to do it in our personal lives, and anyone can do it in their personal life. Like being as open and authentic and vulnerable about your own situation with your community as you can helps a friend when they're like, I think I need to go to therapy. I think there's something up. I don't even know where to start. And then you can reach out. I remember that I reached out to like a friend of a friend who I knew was a therapist. Like, how do I even find a therapist? In the US, she gave me a great advice that I tell people to go on Psychology Today, because therapists all have kind of like a little profile that they write. And it kind of, that's how I found my therapist. And you can kind of get a sense of not just the services they cover, but also what they're like. I feel like you can kind of, by someone's writing, get a sense of their energy and their vibe, and if it syncs up with yours, because we're all looking for something different. But yeah, if you share, then you become kind of a resource, not to solve someone's problem, but to kind of guide them on the way.
I always feel like really privileged, whether, you know, especially when we do the podcast, when you're able to capture someone's journey like that. And obviously when they're at a point in time where they're comfortable, like retelling it, like looking back on it, like explaining it, because like, as I said to you, like it is, everyone's experience will be basically be different, but also like there's just such shared learning in there. And like having those conversations, if it does help someone, like I suppose have the courage to enter in that process themselves, like brilliant. But also if it's a friend or a family member where you can support them better, like say that, like you just said, the psychology today, when someone, if someone's listening now, like you can just type that into your phone notes and just have it. And like if anything ever pops up, or maybe there's a friend or a family member you're thinking of now, and like you can actually use that as a, like to share with them, like as a resource. The other thing when you're talking about made me think was, you talk about like accessibility, and I don't know, I mean, I'm sure I told you this story before, but like when I did my book, like one of the most important things driving me to do it was to share the counseling, like the therapy part of it, like entering it, the decision to enter it, actually like getting there, walking into the first session, and then kind of explaining what that brought me through. And it just made me think of, like, it's always so funny that like I remember calling like that helpline, that number, and like saying who I am, where I was. And like, long story short, what I called it was like the Gaelic Players Association. But they were like, yeah, no problem. Like, we have therapists like in Dublin. So there's like north side Dublin, south side Dublin, which would suit. And I was like, North Dublin. I was like, cool. Like, where is it? And they called out the address. And I was like, you're joking me. Like, no way. And they were like, yeah, what's the problem? I was like, I live on that street. It's still like, I just like got half a chill. Yeah. It freaks me out. And like, and I always talk about, you know, we talk about like signs from above or below, wherever you think your signs come from. Like, it's like, okay, like this is lining up now. Like if this, like there's no excuse for me not to go to this. Like I could walk out my front door and I could literally kick a football from my front door to like, I can still see the building, like, to like the back garden of that one. And even taking all that into consideration, I was like, yeah, the stars are aligned, the signs, it's perfect. Go to therapy, you're all good, kid. And then I remember walking down to the front entrance. You know, I walked straight by the gate. I got there, I was like, nope, keep going. And then you loop back around, you're having that little conversation again, and you get back and you see the little sign on the door saying, you know, whatever it was, like counseling services. Oh, I think I probably walked by it 3 or 4 times.
Like just being nervous that to go in, nervous someone's going to see you?
Both. Yeah. Like, what am I walking into? But also, like, what if someone sees me going in here? Like, my friends, obviously, my housemates are around the corner.
And they're like, what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? I'm just like, you're in that heightened state of like paranoia, anxiousness, worry. Totally. And I remember, so even then, you go, okay, so you get in, I walk into like the pillars, up the little steps, up another like little pathway, up 2 more steps, you get to like, I'm pretty sure it was a red door. I walk in, and then like you get mad, and it's like, yeah, go on upstairs to like the waiting room. And kind of where I'm going with this is like trying to get to counseling. Like, so I'm here right now. I'm about like, I'm just, the service is going to start on the other side of the wall. And I'm sitting in the waiting room and every part of my brain and body's telling me to like run, like get out of there. No. Like, just don't stay. And I was like literally, and genuinely in my memory, as I recall it, like I had just kind of half stood up out of the seat, like to leave. And like my counselor came in through the door and like shook my hand and said hello and said like, follow me into the room. And that's like, I suppose I'm telling that story from the perspective of like, I suppose, inner barriers of getting there. And I'm sharing it the way like Katie shared her experience, because I just like letting people know that that's all really fucking normal as part of this process.
Like, yes, totally. And it's again, like telling our stories, but I feel like it's easy to be like, and then I started going to therapy, yeah, but that's correct. Not
and
ever
I
how
could
it
jump
goes.
On and be like, yeah, for sure. No, I called the number. Can you believe it was on the end of the road? It was great. And like, ultimately, obviously we're talking today. Like I can
and
look back and laugh
was
about
healed.
It. Yeah. Look at me. Like attaboy.
And it's just like, no.
It's because messy. Like it's
so
messy.
Like, yeah. And it's not linear. Going isn't linear. No. I know. I feel like we've talked about, but like there have times when you should have still been going and then stopped and then had to pick up again. And I definitely had that experience at different times in my life, and it's all part of the process.
Yeah, therapy just is that it's messy, it's not linear, it can be like, but I said I'll loop it all the way back around to where I started from, and kind of from the sense of, if someone's like thinking, if you've had that thought multiple times, like I think that could be helpful for me, honestly, dealing with like whatever it is, like if that's a relationship situation, your own mental health, if it's, you know, if it's bereavement or grief, or if it's like, obviously you can drift into the other side of things in terms of if it's body image, addiction, like all just after, like there's a whole, even within all that, like there's a whole array of things or reasons why it could be good. But I would just say to people, like if that's kind of that's presented itself a couple of times. Obviously, we've just touched upon our stuff, and then Katie drove the home, and that's kind of what I loved about it. It was just another experience. It's not linear. It's a little messy. But then I think, like, Katie sitting down to chat about it, able to kind of share some of the learnings, the lessons, and again, like, deliver it with, like, humor and, like, actually have a laugh as you navigate through it. Like, it probably was my favorite part of the conversation, to be honest. And I said to you, like, that was one of the main reasons I want to talk to her. And even just for me, like, I think it's so cool that, like, she's going on tour now, and, like the tour is called Therapy. Like, it's literally, like, she's, like, unapologetically been like, you can't walk into that room not thinking that some of it's going to be about, like, counseling, mm-hmm. like, going to be about, like, therapy. And I love that. I think watch, like, people like her, like, shining bright as herself, but then also, like, helping, like, shine a light on these difficult topics. Like, she talks, like, literally, like, you know, if it's to do with, like, toxic relationships with yourself, like, and just bringing them to the fore, just in a very casual, like, all conversational way almost. I just love that. Like, and the more people that are doing that, and hopefully, like, we've just done episode one, and we plan on doing, like, you know, episode 100, and I just can't wait to keep capturing conversations like that and different experiences and sharing. And just as listeners, kind of, we said, like, every little nugget you get, like, or, you know, you might end up in a conversation 6 months time, and, like, oh, that reminds you of when I listened to an episode mm-hmm. with Katie, or, you know, just gonna be other guests. And I think that's really cool, and that's, like, one of the things that really excites me, even as we recap episode one. Like, it actually excites me to, like, share the ones that are coming, genuinely.
Oh my gosh, 100%.
Whew.
It's fun that we went to so many places when that might be a little dark, but when we're talking about someone so funny.
No, I don't know if, like, I don't even know if I'd done an interview before where he's laughed so much during the interview, do you know what I mean? Like, that was a cool thing too. Yeah, she's sharp as a tack. And that's, I don't know if you said it, but, like, the special that's on YouTube now, like, if you haven't, or, you know, if you listened to the first, like, to the interview and haven't watched it yet, like, definitely go and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's awesome, as are the upcoming guests mm-hmm. that I'm so excited that we get to start rolling out. We've said this so many times, but we've been working on this for so long, kind of in an insular way. And now that we're actually getting to put it out there, it's pretty exciting.
Like, we got music, sport, art, our life. And I don't really want to give away the guests because I want to kind of do that, like, week by week. But just be able to say, like, we're going to be sharing things with, like, Olympians or actors. And again, I think everyone that's been entering into conversation with us kind of knows that they're coming in to kind of have that, like, real meaningful conversation. And
yeah, it's exciting because I feel like a lot of people are kind of coming through New York in March. So we're getting to have some cool conversations in person and over video, and it's all pretty exciting. And I'm really excited that we get to then talk with kind of the listening community on our newsletter and kind of chat through things there. That's like a cool space that's forming, and I'm very, very much looking forward to continuing that and building that as we can.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, that's, like, this all, like, yes, we want people to experience and enjoy the interview, but we want to help with the reflection piece. We want to grow that community, like, share your thoughts, share your insights, share any questions you have, or share suggestions for, like, future guests or people of that can help us kind of bring, you know, with podcasts and stuff like this. It often is, like, people who are having success or somewhat success in whatever, however you want to, like, describe that. But, like, we're also, like, very keen to, like, elevate voices and diversity and kind of push that forward. And I think that's gonna, we've only done episode one, but, like, that's gonna shine through in the next kind of couple of weeks and months as well. And definitely, like, if you listen to this, I'm always, like, big believer in just, like, help us grow or share with a friend that you think, you know, would benefit from listening to the Katie interview, to this conversation. I know when I was struggling, when people did share stuff, they always help me feel that, like, you know, like, I'm not alone. There's other people out there who have these thoughts, these feelings. And I'm not even talking, like, in the dark sense, like, just, like, the curiosity, the, like, the identity, to move into a different city. Like, we talked about that with Katie too, in terms of, like, moving to a different city, in terms of, like, it freeing you up that little bit, in terms of, you know, trying to, maybe when you're trying to figure out who you are or what you want to become, like, and being in a different place can so much be really helpful for that. And that's, like, I'm sure many listeners will resonate with that. I certainly did.
Yeah, totally. And in the comments section of the newsletter will be those friends who cheer people on.
Whoop, whoop.
That'll be that. Okay. Is that good with you?
That is great with me. I just want to, yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and excited to share the next guest. Make sure you subscribe to us on all the different platforms. Please help, like, share and let people know that these are coming out, because obviously you know, we're just a couple of weeks into launch. We're growing it. We're pushing it. It's going to evolve. And we've got so much more good stuff to come. So if anyone can help us with growing that community out, growing that reach out, please do. And thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary-Kate.
Anytime. Yeah. We've got laundry to fold.
She's not even joking. I've got laundry to fold. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Real Talks podcast. The Real Talks podcast is hosted by me, Alan O'Mara, and produced by Mary-Kate Boylan. Video and audio were mixed and edited by Jack Deacon at Plural Video and Design. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Real Talks podcast on your preferred platform to keep up to date with our new weekly episodes. You can also sign up for our newsletter at www.realtalks.news. You can also follow the podcast at Hey Real Talks on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow me there by searching at AOMTheCat. Thanks for being here, and we'll be back next week. This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the MGF Group, a premier building material supplier in New York City. Whether you're a seasoned contractor or a DIY enthusiast, the MGF Group offers a wide range of premium building materials to suit your every need. From cement to lumber, protection materials and safety nets, the MGF Group has got it all under one roof and pride themselves in timely and reliable delivery. Check out the mgfgroup.com for more information.
This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the Taylor Public House. Right on the doorstep of Madison Square Garden, the Taylor Public House is the perfect place to connect with family or friends before taking in a concert or sports event. The Taylor is known for its warm welcome, classy ambiance, and comfort food. It has 2 floors, 3 bars, and 2 private event spaces for parties and gatherings. Be sure to stop by and experience the Taylor Public House for yourself, located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan on the corner of 35th Street and 8th Avenue. Check out thetaylornyc.com for more information.